Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
But you're writing the goal. Way a too goal. Early in
how
the
do
process. Goal,
how do goals happen? Flirt, you flirt, you flirt, and then you score.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Fellas, another week of championship down. How are we both?
Don't mind us. How are you, Tommy? Is that sangria in the background, is it?
No, it's a limoncello spritz.
Where are you?
Where am I? I'm in Ischia. Did you ever watch The Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
You remind me of him a bit, actually.
Which one, Ripley or Dickie Greenleaf?
Ripley. Con man.
God damn it, yeah. Snake, absolute snake in the grass. So you're on the Amalfi snake. Coast drinking limoncello spritz. You are a big time now, T. You've left us behind.
Warm weather training camp. Much needed. Jeez. In the midst of the championship.
Yeah, any sun cream, you're scalded.
Oh, lads, if you saw my legs, I'm absolutely roasted. But yeah, I'd recommend the trip, though. Paddy, you're a man in need of a trip at some stage. James, the same, and any of our listeners at home.
But I'm looking at the pale here.
Were you? Gorgeous spot.
In Isha.
Yeah, it's a nice spot. Amalfi Coast, Jimmy. All the bigwigs go there. So Tommy's in with all the elite crew now. Royalty down there.
Oh, yes.
GAA correspondent.
This promotion has really done the trick, though.
Unbelievable.
No, my next trip is Paphos in Cyprus.
Cyprus.
I have a wedding. I actually forgot to tell you, I won't be doing a couple of pods there during the summer. I have a wedding in Dubrovnik. No, I'm only joking. I do have a wedding in Dubrovnik.
Get the contract out. Get the contract out again. Jesus Christ. We'll hold for it.
Paddy, you were in a Moor Park, busy weekend.
I was, yeah. There were actually pretty decent games. Conditions were diabolical. Jeez, we're sitting there in the stand watching the championship game and there was sheets of rain. It felt like it was about 2 or 3 degrees. It was more of an Auburn Cup weather than championship. I'd say you picked a good week to be away, Teeter. The football championship, we had a good start last weekend. We have a big weekend ahead, obviously, both in the Connacht and the Ulster championship. But... I'm sure even over on the Amalfi Coast, you might have seen some of the negative coverage of the Leinster Football Championship. Same old. Obviously, the Dubs and Meath were in Croke Park. It went exactly as expected. Really poor crowd. Just 20,000 people were there and a pretty one-sided affair. The two games I was at, genuinely, I have to say, were pretty competitive games. Wicklow nearly caused a major upset. Probably should have. Kildare got out of jail. They got a victory finally. And Loud eventually got the job done against Wexford. So that sets up a semi-final between those two teams in 2 weeks' time. So they're pretty good games, but look, that's what the whole point of the Leinster Championship is. Dublin are hovering over the whole thing, which they have been over the last 15 years. So no matter what really happened yesterday, I think it's just building up towards Dublin winning the thing in 3 or 4 weeks' time. So,
well, I watched the Dublin Meath game. It was hard watching, but... And I knew it was going to explode after. I knew that everyone was going to go mental, that this is not what anyone wants to see. And it's true. It was frustrating watching it, even the Gulf. But it's not Dublin's fault either. Like, they went out, they put on a professional display, did everything right, won the game very handsomely, very comfortably, got minutes into every fella. Like, the Leinster Championship would be fine without Dublin. That's the level. That's the level of the vast majority of teams.
It's only that
Dublin are so far ahead that they're making a mockery of the competition. It's not their fault.
How many All-Ireland contenders would come from Leinster if Dublin weren't in Leinster?
No, I'm not saying take them out, but I'm saying if you actually look at it, like, it's Dublin are just so good that it's making a mockery of that whole competition.
It's reasonably competitive across all the other counties. Like, you see, Wicklow, Shock,
you couldn't call the other games.
Offaly beating Laois on Saturday night. But, like, what's Offaly's reward? Offaly play Dublin and Crow Park in 2 weeks' time. I mean,
a waste of time.
Waste of time.
Like, realistically, that is a waste of time. And it's hard to watch because the gulf is so big. Like, you could see me, they were trying to do the right things last day, but they were being turned over in the middle of the field, right where you don't want to be turned over, when if you are, the counterattack is guaranteed to be at least a point. And that is what happened every time. Meath got to a certain point of the field, Dublin's physicality, pace, energy was just on point, turned them over because there's a gulf in class, and next thing they were chipping easy points. Like, the gulf was just so stark. And I know that everyone was saying Meath played very well and they did their best. I mean, nobody wants to get that pat in the back. Do you know? It's just there's a massive problem.
This is 4 years this show was going. Every year we have the exact same thing. The Leinster Championship for over a decade has been fucking nonsense. Like, it has. Like, I played in these games. It's a non-event. Is there anything more to say on this? I mean, genuinely, people are bored. They're obviously bored watching it. People don't go to these games anymore. We're bored talking about it. What's the solution? I mean,
when do you think, I'll put it to you this way, what do you think would convince the powers that be? What is it that will convince the powers that be that change is needed in terms of, like...
But what do you change? Genuinely, what would you change? Take Dublin out of the thing?
Move. No,
province is the only way forward.
Move. Or, James, move it to February, March.
And February, March. 100%.
And allow the leagues run into the championship.
100%.
That, to me, is it.
I would be more straight down the line of get rid of the provinces. There is no benefit to them. Ulster have a great championship. But, like, the rest of them are terrible. So,
Connacht Championship's competitive as well. Like, Mayo Roscommon is this weekend. That's not going to happen. Like, realistically, there's no chance they're going to scrap them altogether. I think the most likely thing is, and even there's even pushback on getting rid of these competitive, the Arbroath Cup, the FBL League, the McGrath Cup, the McKenna Cup. For some reason, these all, let's keep these. Get rid of them. Play these provincial championships as the pre-season competitions. So they're still there. You're kind of ticking that box. Play them in end of January, February, and then have the league go straight into the championship. Like, it's like we've said this so many times. It's fucking boring talking about this. It's we're there. I'm at it in 2 weeks' time. We're going to see Dublin play Offaly in Croke Park. I mean, what is the point? It's ridiculous. The other semi-final will be pretty close between Louth and Kildare. There's actually a bit riding on that, even from Westmeath's perspective, that if Kildare weren't great yesterday, but they got a result, if they can somehow get over the Louth challenge and get into the Leinster final, that puts Westmeath into the Tailteann Cup. So I don't think that will happen. I think Louth will have too much for Kildare. Louth weren't great yesterday either, but I think they're a better team than Kildare. So there's a bit riding on that game, and it'll actually be a pretty tight game. But in terms of the competition itself, the winner plays Dublin in the final, bloodbath. Just the sooner that's over. And I tell you, Dublin's attitude to it is the exact same. The sooner this is over, they're looking at, let's get through this month, pre-season. That is literally what it will be treated like. And focus on June, All-Ireland Series. This is where the season starts. And we're having this conversation today. Next Monday when we record it, we're going to be having the same conversation about the Munster Senior Championship as well. Exact same scenario for Kerry. Maybe not as bad with their game against Cork this weekend at Fitzgerald Stadium, but you have two provinces which are reasonable. The Ulster Championship is better than reasonable. You're going to see some brilliant games with Derry Donegal this weekend. Mayo and the Rossies on Sunday in the Connacht Championship. They are competitive, but the Munster and Leinster things, look, we are like fucking parrots talking about this. The same thing every year. Bang, bang, bang. They're useless. They're not a good spectacle for the players, for the supporters. That's why no one goes. It's Conor O'Rourke, what is it? It's a, what do you call it, shambles yesterday. Yeah, he's right.
Desi Bell, of course he is. Blue in the face, talking about it, like, you know, in the sense that...
Everyone is.
There's no rhythm. But...
But what, like, do Meade want, Tom? What do Meade want? What's their...
Well, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters what Meade want, right? Because...
But why is it a shambles, like, from a Meade point of view? Because they got... They requested Croke Park. They wanted that game. And they got a good dusting, and then they're saying it's a shambles.
Well, I think it's a shambles whether or not they get a dusting or not, James. Like, Dublin have won 40 matches in a row. Dublin have lost one Leinster final since 2005. Like, that's 20 years. You look at the Kerry stats. Kerry, 70-odd championships, Munster. Cork have what? 30. Tip have one or two. Clare have one or two. Maybe Waterford and Limerick one or two around the 1800s. Like, the structures itself, we know it. But the problem is the power and the money is filtered through the provincials. So what's going to have to happen is the provincial councils are going to have to be given assurances that if we move these competitions, your power is going to just be slightly shifted, or things are going to be changed somewhat, but there's still going to be funding models in place. And we can talk about it all we want, but nothing is going to change until the GAA make moves to change it. And the GAA from the top level...
There's finances involved here. Let's the council get the gate receipt. That's why a lot of these games have been moved to Croke Park, because you get bigger crowds. We've all said that there's no way they should be in Croke Park, but that's the rationale behind them. It's not a Dublin thing. It's definitely on a Mo blue in the face saying this. The Leinster Council decides where these games are, and the reason behind it is gate receipts, money. Would Dublin and Meade have been a better spectacle if it was in Navan? Of course it would have been. These semi-finals in 2 weeks' time, would they be better if Dublin played Offaly in Portlaoise and Loud and Kildare was in Navan? Yeah, they would be, but they won't be because...
Yep.
For the sake of the All-Ireland Championship, right, look how difficult a route... the Ulster Championship is fantastic viewing, right? But look how difficult a route it is for Derry this year, or Donegal. What they have to do to get to an Ulster final to progress, as opposed to what... The Leinster teams or the Munster teams, like, they might not know it yet, but if you completely revamped the whole thing, they'd end up in a better position as well going through an All-Ireland series, because they're being absolutely paid around the place by each other before they even get into the All-Ireland series. And it is a great spectacle, but we can do it so much better and have all the top teams playing each other. We have to think more outside the box. We're so repetitive with the same thing. No, this happened for so long, we have to keep at it. It's so boring. I was actually angry the last day on Sunday for having to watch that game and knowing inevitably what was going to happen. Everyone said, they'll get a goal now. There it goes. Do you know, like, it's just frustrating. We could have such a better product.
But we have a better product. We have the leagues, and then we have the round robin going into the All-Ireland knockouts. It's just in the middle. So, look, I think we've done enough in the pod today about it.
I think
it's so simple. Yeah.
I think it will be changed. I thought it'd possibly changed for this season. The Prince Champs are not going to be scrapped. Like, there's too much in the background there, and I don't think they should be. Just play them earlier in the season, so it satisfies the tradition. It satisfies the provincial councils that they still get their championships. They get a few quid. And the Ulster teams, they have the best provincial championship, which are right, James. It'll actually help their teams in the All-Ireland series play this thing in February, then have the National League leading into the championship. So it's even footing across the four provinces. Because you're, hands up, there's no other two ways about it. When it comes to the All-Ireland series, Dublin and Kerry have an advantage by how easy they can progress through the next 6 weeks versus the Connacht and Ulster teams. So it's a flawed system, so, but it's... We've been saying it for so long and nothing's changed. So let's wait and see.
Paddy, can you talk to us about the Wicklow story and how close they were to causing another monumental upset at the weekend? What did they do so well against Kildare?
There was lots of good stuff from Wicklow. Kildare were not great again. You were kind of... Like, Wicklow they'd only one win themselves in the National League, so they were relegated from Division 3 down to the bottom tier. Very similar story to Kildare. They had bad league campaigns, and Wicklow kind of, I think this will be one of the biggest shocks to the championship, even though it was on the first weekend, for them to take out Westmeath. So we were kind of thinking, will Kildare will we see something new from them, having had 3 weeks since the disastrous league campaign? Have they gone away and kind of gone back to basics and just parked it and try and put a new spin on the season, and do exactly what Wicklow did? Basically change all the momentum of the season but one big victory. We didn't see that from them. I thought Wicklow were really well organised. They played, there was a massive breeze in O'Moore Park yesterday, and Kildare played with it. Kildare won the toss and said, right, we're going to play with the breeze. And it's like, okay, we're going to be on the front foot. And the first quarter, they actually started pretty well. Feely kicks a couple of lovely scores. Wicklow concede the kickouts and get loads of bodies back to try and frustrate Kildare, which is perfect, well organised. It was the correct tactic to do. And after about 15 minutes, you could see the old failings of Kildare creeping back in. They start just really slow, ponderous attacks. They've got Feely, Daniel Flynn and Kerwin inside. Three, if by anything, big, strong ball winners. They have a gale force win behind their back. We'll just go, let's try and transition really quick. You could see Wicklow's game plan is get bodies back, go try and slow this thing down, and Kildare just continued to chip short kickouts. Mark Donald and goal just chips it to the corner back, and they slow, slow build up. And it's like, that's literally what Wicklow wants you to do. So blatantly obvious, and Kildare continued to do that. Then they start panicking, the bad shot selection, forcing things like we've seen in the National League, and the confidence, it's kind of wafer thin at the minute as it is, and you can just see that creeping in. Then they get Kevin Flynn's red card, and you can just see Wicklow's belief. They start to build, they're really well set, loads of energy on their transitions, getting bodies up the pitch, running at Kildare, and again, that defensive system for Kildare, they couldn't deal with runners coming through the middle. Healy at midfield was exceptional for Wicklow. They went in 2 points down with a man up and a big breeze behind them, and you just thought, this game is there for Wicklow to win back-to-back Leinster Championship games for the first time since 1989, and they were full value for it. But that third quarter, the technical quality showed that Wicklow are, they've been relegated to Division 4, they had opportunities, and they just started snatching at shots. They couldn't get their noses in front. And you just think it was there for them to take it, but they probably weren't experienced enough, or I don't want to sound harsh, they probably weren't clinical or good enough up front to take the opportunity. But the finale, the last 2 minutes, you think the Kildare have done enough. And they turn over Old Doyle, they get the penalty, McGrainer scores it, levels it up, and then they have the chance to wing back Nolan with the last play of the game. I think we're going to see this a lot, lads. We're going to see open goals, the defenders, goalkeepers being caught out, and he takes the shot from the half. It was probably about the 45 tee, wasn't it? And we were behind the other goal, and I mean, there was silence in the stadium. Like, that was it. That was the game. If it rolls into the net, Wicklow have done it, and Kildare's horrible year carries on. And it just...
Could he have done anything different, Paddy? So it's chaotic, yeah. And he's a teammate off his shoulder. He's a couple of Kildare defenders around.
You could say if he, like, Mark Donald, I don't know if it's caught on the main camera. So he's actually coming into right from the right hand side. So he's probably in his eye line. And you think if Nolan takes another solo, Donald's probably going to pull him down for a free, which they're going to clip over the bar. Donald get a black card. Or he can just carry it on and roll it into the empty net from maybe 5 or 10 yards closer in. I thought it was fair enough to take the shot. It was an open goal. He's 45 yards out. There's a massive breeze behind him. It's like it's a foot outside.
He backed himself.
I think it was a fair enough decision. He just pushes it. And that was literally the game. Like, you probably thought they're going to at least get extra time here till they go up. And to be fair, they have a wild shot. It drops into Niall Kelly, who's probably their best player. Yes, he got man of the match. Fixed it out to Jack Sargent. Fists it over the bar. And Kildare get the win. So it's like double heartbreak. The Wicklow players collapse to the ground. They were very close to a major upset. And Oisín McCovin in those places. You could see it in the aftermath. The game was there for them. It was a major opportunity. Yes, you'll focus on the last play. Like it's a 40
but they deserved afterwards. They just wanted extra, like he'd love to have seen extra time.
The momentum was with them. And Kildare, yeah, obviously with the man down, like Glenn Wright spoke to us after and Derek Kerwin came over and spoke to us after, and to be fair to Kildare, they're under no illusions, they were relieved to win the game. you know, you've got to focus on the positives from their side. Okay, they've dug it out. They were a man down. You try and look at the positive, a resilient character in the team and all that stuff, which I can understand, okay. But if you clinically analyse their performance, what improvement did we see from the National League? None. Genuine. And people, you're being overly harsh on Kildare. They won the game. I'm not. They're still a team massively low on confidence. Maybe they get a boost out of winning that game against a team that was relegated to Division 4. I don't know. But if you're an Ushie McConville side of things, if the underdog's coming in, you can see it would have been a massive victory for them. And they probably did enough to win the game. But look, as a spectacle for a neutral looking in, it was exciting coming down the stretch. But I don't expect Kildare to beat Louth in the semi-final. I think that's... bar like drastic improvements, which you were hoping to see yesterday from the National League campaign. I just didn't see it at all, I have to say.
In fairness for Nolan's chance at the end, I actually would take my hat off to him for taking the shot from there. Because I think when you're confident and your decision-making is on point, you're doing things as you see it. So he looked up, he saw the chance. He didn't think, I'm going to go as far as I can here and dish off the responsibility. He thought he'd put it in the back of the net, so he took the chance. It was like he actually side-footed it nicely, but the wind took it straight.
It was a massive breeze, like.
It didn't curl for him. And it was because when you see the behind-the-goal camera, it was like that should curl nicely into the middle, and it just stayed outside. It must have been gut-wrenching for him. But even from a Kildare point of view, their winning score actually epitomises where they are at the moment. Like, they butchered that chance. Like, they kicked the ball up into the air. Fair enough, they won a scrappy ball and kind of hand-passed it over the air, but over the bar. But, like, if they were really at it there, they would have worked a good shot at the post and just executed it properly straight over the black spot. And they had time and space to do it. But it's like they didn't have the confidence to take on the shot. Then the shot they did get, the execution was poor, and eventually they just about got it. But there's no confidence, or there's no rhyme or rhythm to what they're doing.
No, you could say, Kildare, so like they lose Daniel Flynn, who was relatively ineffectual in the first half, and Mick O'Grady as well, who's a big leader in that defence. They lose those guys to injuries. They're missing Ben McCormack, who is one of their key forwards as well. So there's a couple of bodies to come back. But you're right, and you could see in the play, we said the conference piece, and in that first half, with that breeze behind him, what Wicklow were trying to do, you need to take kind of risks in your play and try and maybe force the issue a little bit with kick, just quicker transitions. But when a team is low on confidence, they'll take the safer option. They'll take an extra half a second, and you could just see that all over the pitch. I thought Masterson was positive in midfield for them. Like, they pushed up on the kickouts, like the okay, they're positive things to do. Feely, again, in terms of leadership, is really good. Niall Kelly was the bright light, clinical playmaker at centre forward. Like, these type of things. We know Kildare have these technical players who should be, as a team, they should be performing at a higher level. But you can just see the confidence, and we knew they'd be low on confidence. And that's why I should be confident, thinking if we get this extra time, these guys were truly, truly rattled. But, I mean, on Nolan's chance, I agree, Jimmy. I think it was 100%. It was the right play to take it on and to go for it. After the final whistle, we were behind the goal where Kildare, Jack Sargent, fists over the score at the end. The Wicklow players, and the poor Yopfla, like, they were devastated. Absolutely. Because it was such an opportunity to win back-to-back games for the first time in a generation. And it was there for them. And we felt it was there for them at half-time. But to be fair, people are focused on the chance, but overall, that little bit of quality and experience, a bit of know-how to clip scores, you know, you could see why Wicklow didn't get over the line. And from Kildare's perspective, look, they've won the game. It's a victory which they badly, badly needed. They can try and put a positive spin on, yeah, we were a man down, we got the job done. We have a couple of bodies to come back for the semi-final at Croke Park in a couple of weeks' time. But when they're sitting reviewing that game this week, I mean, Glenn Ryan's going to be looking at how easy they were got at defensively, despite having, you know, bodies back there. There's just no intensity, no contact. Again, when the pressure was applied by Wicklow, the scoring efficiency seemed to just drop off a cliff again. So loads to work on for Kildare, but
so close.
I wouldn't be overly, I don't want to be too harsh on them, but I didn't see massive improvement from what was a really bad league campaign. You know, have to be honest.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
In fairness, for Wicklow, they've had a great Leinster Championship now. Like, they can bank that and take it into the Tailteann, because that competition, everything's a bonus nearly in that situation. They're now going into the Tailteann with confidence, with they've given the jersey the respect it needs and it deserves, and they've kind of grown into it, and they can now have a cut at a competition closer to their level and actually take the benefit that they've had of Leinster Championship and do well. So, I mean, they're in a great position. They've come out of that Leinster Championship absolutely delighted, as far as I'm concerned, because I know they had a very disappointing loss, but Oisín can still take them into the dressing room and say, lads, you've done us proud there. You know, 2 great performances. Now we go into a group and our season kicks on again.
Did you see during the week McConville opened the doors?
I seen that. But just only a month ago, they'd won 1 of 7 league games. They'd only scored 1 goal. They were on the floor as well. And credit to them and to the players for turning that around. And it shows maybe just that little bit of break, that little bit of momentum. You can, in the space of 2 weeks, look at the positivity they have now going into the Tailteann Cup. And that's, if you're on Kildare's side, you've got to be hanging on to something like that. Your season can turn around and you can get momentum out of somewhere. And that's what they're going to be hoping for. But look.
If Kildare lose to Louth, Westmeath are going to be in the championship.
Yeah.
And if they lose, or if they win, they'll be in the championship. So the last spot is basically Westmeath or Kildare.
Essentially.
From my calculations.
Well, Down could also.
Down could beat Armagh, the Ulster.
If Down get to the Ulster.
Which is unlikely. Down weren't great on Saturday night against Antrim, but again, they got the job done, so it's kind of tick the box and move on.
I was going to just say there about McConville opening the doors to the media. He allowed RT, Niall McCoy in and Malik Clark in the Irish Times, and they watched the training session and they took it all in. And I think McCoy went down in the car with McConville and Mark Doran and Des Jennings. It just sounded brilliant, like, and Malachy Clarkin was there early and he got to see players coming and going, and it was a lovely little insight into it. But when they rang McConville and he said, no bother, he said it'll be good for them. It'll be good for the lads to feel it ramping up, to feel the pressure, the exposure, the little bit of, like you said, James, that they're going to come out of this with positives. These experiences are something that you'd hope the Wicklow footballers can build on, because your league campaign happens, you're relegated, it's on low ebb. But then, all of a sudden, a performance or two back-to-back, there's an excitement, there's a buzz, people are talking about their names, people in the county are asking them about it. When it mightn't be that sexy to be a Wicklow footballer 99% of the time. Now they're in the kind of shop window. I just think it was a really positive story last week. A lot of people would have been very interested in seeing them at the weekend as well.
I thought it was fascinating that he left him in. I thought it was a masterstroke. You know, in hindsight, it was a masterstroke, because the players must have been like, whoa, this is the big time now. Like, you know, there's journalists just hanging around the dressing room. Like, that is exciting. And the fact that they went and delivered on the back of it, it says a lot about them as a group as well.
It does.
But like,
it does. Yeah.
I there was a masterstroke by McConville to do that, because I'd say he was just looking for any sort of something different to spark them. Whereas, like, that's what Kildare need. They need something, some spark from somewhere to motivate them slightly differently, but they haven't found it. But in fairness, he seems to have
let me in next week.
Do a Living with Lucy with Glenn Ryan, Living with Tommy.
Yeah, that could work. That could work. All right. Okay. You are listening to the Football Pod, Monday's pod. We'll be back later in the week looking ahead to a bumper weekend of Championship action. The results this weekend, the Leinster Senior Football Championship quarterfinals. And Saturday night, Offaly, that young Offaly side with Declan Kelly at the helm, turned over leash 2-13 to 1-8, a really impressive victory over the Division 4 champions. That was a big win in O'Mara Park on Saturday night. We also saw Down a 13-9 win against Antrim. Antrim set up similar to Westmeath with that deep block in defence. James, I'd imagine that half of Down's points were fisted over the bar at the weekend, so I can't imagine you tuned into this one too closely because you would have been tweeting about it. The second Ulster semi-final at the weekend, we saw Armagh 3-11 for a man of 9 points. We're going to come back to that in a second. And then the three Leinster quarterfinals on Sunday. Dublin 3-19, Meath 12. The Dubs tagging on a lot of scores in that final quarter. But Meade really never got that close after Bugler's opening goal after his 14 steps. Loud 4-10, Wexford 15 points. Paddy, was the second game. We were after been talking about Kildare 16, Wicklow 1-12. Just briefly, Louder going in to face Kildare now. It's going to ramp up. Were you impressed, first of all, with the Wexford performance? They smashed the underside of the bar in the first half. It could have been different.
Yeah, I was impressed with Wexford. I could see why they racked up big scores over the last 3 or 4 weeks towards the end of the Division 4 campaign and obviously against Carlow in the opening round of the Leinster Championship. Really good brand of football. This was actually a pretty entertaining game. And Wexford did lots of good stuff. They were playing with a stiff breeze in the first half and they were really controlling the game. Loud were slow to get going in both halves, but I was disappointed. I expected more from Loud, I have to say. I thought they'd be a little bit slicker and what they were doing. But look, the biggest thing, they got goals at key moments, probably against the run of play in the first half, Kieran Downey, and then a brilliant goal in the second half from him as well. He was man of the match. And just whatever about the goals, they came at the right times for Loud as well. When Wexford were kind of on top, they were down a man to a black card in the third quarter, and they controlled that period really well, really experienced, keeping the ball, killing the clock. They actually won that period by a score to nil. And then, okay, now, very similar to the first game with Wicklow against Kildare, the game was there. Like, now go and win it. Are you good enough to go and win it? And they probably weren't. Look, it was Division 4 team against Division 2 team. The last quarter, Louds, to Kieran Keenan, was really good for them in terms of link play. Sam Mulroy was very quiet. It was probably expected a bit more from him from play. He scores two beautiful penalties, one into the top corner and then a nice little calm one to put a bit of shine on the scoreboard. But Kieran Downey was the best player.
Brilliant. He took both goals brilliantly.
Brilliant goals. He's named the corner forward. He plays in kind of a playmaker role. Everything he did was a bit of class. His kick passing. He was kind of, he just had a little bit of stardust in that game. Like I say, Loud would, they'll be favourites going into that game against Kildare, and they should be. But I was a bit disappointed. I probably expected a little bit more of them. That's maybe credit to Wexford as well. But I think overall, Loud probably just deserved to shade it. But it was the goals and the time of the goals that they got just killed that Wexford challenge. But I could definitely see, I think Wexford are showing that they're better than Division 4 team. I think if they can just keep the show on the road for next season, through the Talta Cup and also the next season,
they
could play at a higher level. You could see them doing a bit of damage in Division 3, but look, that's where they're so frustrated at the end, that infamous call against Leitrim, that they have to do another year in Division 4. But I expect
it's a big couple of
that semi-final.
It's a big couple of weeks for Loud, isn't it? I mean, that Kildare game is huge for them to get that crack off Dublin.
Yeah.
Like, they're the one team that probably wants that crack off Dublin in Leinster.
Do they though, James? Crow Park last year, they got absolutely annihilated. It's the same for everybody in Leinster.
I know, but they have new manager. They've improved. I think that they seem like a tight group. I think they probably do want that game as a shot to nothing. And the fact it's a final, you know, a chance to play in front of that massive crowd. But I must say, Mulroy's penalties, I thought, were outstanding. I mean, the first one, how we got us so far into that sanction. It was just a quality penalty.
It's always good when you see that.
He'd obviously seen Harry Kane's penalty then against Arsenal for Munich. He does the exact same one. But the keeper was playing, if you mind games with him, was he said, I'm going to stay in the middle here. I'd say kind of thought he was going to go straight down the middle, I reckon.
And I thought we might see our first Panenka, but Now, yeah. Mulroy, obviously, he's one of the top free takers in the game. Like, I just wanted to see a bit more from even Ryan Burns as well. He only gets a score right at the end, his only score yes. of the day. You're just thinking, Downey was very good, but if Leo are to kind of move on to the next level, you need those Mulroy and Burns. And they have the capacity, obviously. We've seen it in glimpses. I look forward, I'll be at the game in 2 weeks' time as well against Kildare and Croke Park. So hopefully, and I know Jerry Brennan and Loud will be looking for a little bit more from them from play, but they did enough to get the job done yesterday, but there's definitely improvement in Loud, do you feel?
Yeah. There was a bit of a feature done by Sean Cavan and Paul Flynn last night in the Sunday game about Armagh reverting back to the old style of Armagh that we're all looking for. Kieran McGeaney is adamant that they've never changed styles, but the lads in the Sunday game were saying that once Armagh come up against a Derry, a Dublin, a Kerry, they'll go back to playing more conservative.
Yeah, exactly.
So Armagh down. Armagh could very easily get through that game against Down and find themselves in an Ulster final again. They got Rian O'Neill back in the field. He was replaced by his brother Oisin in the first half. Couple of good goals early on. They killed it as a contest. The Ulster Championship is really going to take flight next weekend. We've got Derry, Donegal and Tyrone Cavan. So have you seen the schedule for next weekend's GA, lads?
It is all action.
Here we go. Here we go, right? There's two games. There's six football games and there's two that aren't on telly. Sligo Galway in the Connacht Championship and Waterford Clare. Two semi-finals, a Munster semi-final and a Connacht semi-final. But then the GA coverage live next weekend, 4 p.m. Saturday, GA go, Kerry versus Cork. 6:15 p.m. Saturday, Derry versus Donegal on RT2 and BBC2. Sunday, 2 p.m, Clare versus Limerick in the hurling.
Savage.
And 4 p.m. on GA go, Waterford versus Cork in the hurling. But you can also take your pick of Mayo Roscommon on RT2 at 4 o'clock or Tyrone Cavan on BBC2 at 4 o'clock. It is a bumper weekend of GAA next weekend.
That'd be savage week. And the Legion,
I know we're complaining.
Sunday afternoon, second.
So are you going to watch that next weekend?
Club game in the morning, up to Fitzgerald Stadium for Kerry Cork. A few pints after, delighted. Weekend ruined.
You're only playing, you're not allowed for pints in Killarney, no. I'm in Killarney on Saturday, no.
Oh yeah, are you doing the...
Same.
Yeah,
it'll be. I don't think that's going to be as one sided as people are letting on. I think the Cork have had that game in their sights for a long time. I think Cork are going to come with the most confidence that they've come for since probably 2015 to be Kerry and Killarney.
What's given you the reason to believe that?
I think that people see Kerry as vulnerable at the moment. And I think that Cork will fancy keeping Clifford quiet because they've done it on two previous occasions.
Yeah. Meehan has done it once.
Yeah, and did Maguire do a good job on it once?
Flahev
kept him quiet. Yeah. No, that was early in championships. I think that Clifford obviously has another gear in him. Also, I think that Cork found something after their training camp in the National League. If you were to go off the start of the National League campaign, I would say dodgy. So they're playing well, they fancy their chances on Clifford, and their confidence is up. Plus, I know that we kind of took the piss out of this at the start of the year, but they did beat Kerry in the McGrath Cup final on penalties in Cork. So like when you're a coming team, all those little wins do add up mentally. Like I know it wasn't a big competition, there was no one out there, I was there. There was nobody really there and it went to penalties. But the fact that they got over the line and won that, do you know, it just says, do you know what, maybe this is in us. That said, I think Jimmy, the Kerry have done their training camp and you'll be hoping the Killarney will be the fortress that it always is.
You're giving this the big one now. If you had 20 quid, what would you put it on? Kerry by how much?
Oh, I think, I personally points. Think the Kerry will win, but I'd say it won't be more than 4 or 5 points. Yeah. I think
traditionally it's a massive game, obviously Kerry, Cork and Killarney, but look, the bigger games you've outlined them, Bertie, everyone has been penciling in since the draw was made. Jim McGuinness and Donegal against Derry, we'll chat about that the show later in the week, but that is, everyone's going to be tuning into that one. That is a big game, and Mayo and the Rossies as well, and also I'll probably tune into that one. The hurling Clare Limerick is going to be savage. Tyrone Cavan is not going to be a bad game, because Cavan, full value for a win against Monaghan. what Gallagher has done. Talk about a team of confidence now, and the Tyrone, Jekyll and Hyde. What are we going to see from Tyrone? Are we going to see Tyrone at their best, and then they'd have too much for Cavan? Or are we going to see that kind of inconsistent performance that we've seen basically through the whole season, or more than this, last 18 months, really? Because then Cavan have a massive chance of winning that game. Yeah, and they'll have no fear of going up. But I'm looking forward to Saturday night, Derry Donegal and Mayo and the Rossies. What is Davy Burke going to get out of the Rossies? Similar to Tyrone, is it going to be one of these really, really flat performances that we've seen a couple of times in the National League? Are we going to get Ross Common at top gear? They shocked Mayo in last year's championship. Can they all do that again? So it's a deadly weekend, finally, because this weekend was a bit flat, lads. We have to be honest. Like, it wasn't great.
Do you know what will be interesting is in the Cavan, Tyrone game, having a massive championship game under your belt already is some advantage. Like, I don't think people actually realise that their first championship game blows off a lot of cobwebs, gets you into the right mindset, gets your team together. Tyrone are coming in not knowing what they're going to deliver, even from the back of the
National League. No one knows what they're going to deliver.
They probably don't either. Like, they're on paper, obviously, the better team should win, but Cavan are coming in on an absolute high with a championship game under their belt. The first 10 or 15 minutes of that game will tell an awful lot. If Tyrone can match their intensity, they should win. If they don't, there is a big upset on the cards there.
It's going to be ferocious, that game. What way are you leaning? You are listening to the Football Pod, brought to you every week by AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. It is worth noting that we started this pod giving off about the provincial championships, and now we're really excited for the weekend that's coming. So
just turn it around.
Forget about structures.
We're hype men. Serious hype men.
But these games could all be on in a better format. Continue, Tom.
Oh, they could. They absolutely could. Okay, we are going to get to this on Wednesday's pod. But Derry Donegal, like, as the week goes on, are we going to start convincing ourselves that McGuinness has something up his sleeve here, even despite how good Derry were in the league final?
I'm sure he does have something up his sleeve, which is the kind of intrigue of Jim McGuinness. How 2024 has gone for Donegal, he couldn't have scripted it better. Promote it really at a canter back to Division 1, back to the top table, and winning the league final, probably a bonus. Winning the league final with a lot of players missing, which was an added bonus for Donegal. They will have a plan. In terms of the spectacle, just hope that the likes of Paddy McBrady and Ryan McHugh are back. They might not be. They've had a couple of knocks and niggles. They're improving. The trajectory is really good. But I think it's very early for them to take out a team like Derry. I just think Mickey Hart and Derry, they've been there. We said it last. Genuine All-Ireland contenders. Along with Dublin, I have them as the top two teams in the country. I think whatever game plan Jim McGuinness and Donegal have, they're just... they're too much of a gap to make up where they were to where this Derry team are at. I can't wait to see how it pans out, but I think Derry will have too much. They're just way further down the road than this Donegal team. Might be a different story in 12 months' time, but from Derry, there's a little bit of pressure on them now that they are. People are really watching Derry now, and they're judging them by, is this the best team in Ireland? That's the standard they're now being judged at. So I'm intrigued to see how they perform on Saturday night, because like I said, there's a lot of eyeballs going to be on this game, but I think Derry will have just too much for Donegal.
I think it's going to be very, very close. I am in the McGuinness has something up his sleeve game.
He drank the Kool-Aid, Jimmy. He will have something up his sleeve, but
I think that what he'll have,
fucking trick.
I know, but the thing with Donegal is they can kick points. They can kick a lot of points. They have different avenues to kick them from close in, from far out. They can get scores. I think where the trick needs to come is to get a couple of goals. They'll need to score goals against Derry, because Derry are going to be free scoring. And I think that's where McGuinness will thrive. He'll have something, some attacking nugget, I think, that could put Derry under pressure. Now, that said, I'm a huge admirer of Derry. I think Derry are super team. I'd nearly back them for the All-Ireland as definitely two, if not number one. But the McGuinness factor is huge, and I think it'll be very close. I can't see it going 2 or 3 points in this max either way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not theoretical, no, Division 1 winners I against agree. Division 2 yeah. winners. They're closer, a lot closer than that, I believe.
You think T as well, 2 or 3 points. I think Derry by 6 or 7.
Do you, yeah.
I just
That's comprehensive.
I think if Donegal have the bodies back, I think if Donegal have the bodies back, enough bodies back, 3 or 4 back, and I think they might. I just, like, see how high Derry had to get up for that Dublin League final. Derry know they can tap into that when they need to. I'm just not sure they need to tap into it again for a couple of months. Mm. I'm not sure they have to. Look at Dublin at the weekend. Infamous Morris was writing about it. It was obvious the Dubs are in a heavy training block. They didn't have their explosiveness. They could keep Meath off at arm's length. I'd imagine Kerry aren't going to be anywhere near the peak at the weekend. I'm not sure it's good for Derry to be near the peak this weekend.
I
think Donegal can really... Like, look at, like, what did Meath do against Dublin? They turned over a couple of clucks and kickouts. They turned over a couple of Dublin defenders, and next thing Meath were kicking the ball away and they weren't able to capitalise on it. Whereas I think if Donegal can get turnovers, if Donegal can win kickouts, if they can, you know, turn Derry, put Derry in the back foot, I think Donegal have the players to actually do damage. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a Division 2 team in Meath and the Division 2 champions in Donegal. I think Donegal can actually beat one of these teams.
It's exciting. Since the draw was made, like, it is... The context of the game is great, that there's the McGuinness and the Mickey Hart thing as well. But just as expected, you're right, there's two teams who are high on confidence, obviously. But both had performed the last, like I say, the 3 months to date. They couldn't have planned it much better, both sides. But I think McGuinness will have a plan. I think Donegal will have capacity. Of course they do. I think they're a really good team. They're getting back towards the Donegal at their peak from maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But I just think it's very early still in their development as a team. And Derry are just further down the tracks. And I expect to see that. Yeah, they'll have loads going for them. And they have really good players. We know that. It's not being disrespectful to them. I just think Derry are on a different level. This Derry team are on a different level. And I think it'll be arm's length. 6, 7 points.
Okay, last word to you, James, because we will be going through all these games later in the week on our members' pod. Last word to you, and then we'll wrap her up.
On Donegal and...
Yeah, you were hopping in there, weren't you?
I was thinking, when I look at some of these teams, or some of these games, I always think of the GAA do or die thing, right? Who's going to actually really want this more? Or who has the risk of complacency? And I think that Donegal will be jumping out of their skin for this. First Ulster Championship game under McGuinness. They're going to be inside tearing strips out of each other with this game in mind. Whereas Derry have an eye on a bigger prize. They've already come off the back of a huge prize in the National League. They'll be thinking how we're on that curve. Donegal ain't think of any curve. They're thinking, this is our game. So that's why I just think that there's going to be a little bit of a spark in Donegal, that they can catch Derry, maybe not on their most motivated and their best selves. You know, I think that they might let Donegal in there.
Well, if Mickey Hart needs any extra motivation, roll this video.
What about, are you doing a quick, or we'll wait till Wednesday for the Rossi's Mayo? That's a big game, lads.
No, wait till Wednesday. Go on, Paddy. If you want to.
No, I'm intrigued to see that as well. I genuinely, similar stuff. You're not sure what you're going to get from either team. Mayo, I suppose they at least have a run out, albeit it was against New York. The Rossies, I expected more from this season. They were relegated. I know Davey Burke was trying to put a positive spin on it throughout the National League, and I suppose he kind of had to. There's not a lot else you could say. What type of performance are we going to get from them? I worry for them. I expected a hell of a lot more from them to date, but what have they done over the last three, four weeks after they were relegated to try and ambush? I think that element of surprise is going to be long gone after last year's Connacht Championship game in Castlebar. And just see, can Mayo get that? That both teams are similar. They've been inconsistent. We know they've talent. And if Mayo, I think Galway are the best team in terms of the capacity in Connacht. Then I'd have Mayo, then I'd have the Rossies underneath, but we're not sure on what we're going to get from both those teams on Sunday. And that makes it interesting, the more so than with Tyrone on Sunday against Cavan as well. You're not sure what you're going to get from these teams, and it could throw up a classic, but I think I'm excited for that game, I have to say.
Yeah. Okay. Paddy James, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Football Pod. To everybody listening at home, thanks for tuning in. We will be back later in the week and you'll be able to access our members pod if you're an Off The Ball subscriber, or if you have the Off The Ball app, you can get 3 free listens a month. So now will be a time to use them. We're coming into the proper championship time. James and Paddy, enjoy the rest of your week. I'm going to nip off to the pool here.
Throw on the speedos again.
See you later, week.
Oh, yeah. Straight back on. Cheers, boys.
Put the sunscreen on.
I know. Ciao.
See you, boys.
Ciao, Bella.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.